Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to a Thursday edition of Sports Daily. Glad to have you here. Albrecht and Kester, Jad Chambers, man in the ship for us, the controls. He's got that IHOP hotline under control, which is brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back It's All You Can Eat Pancakes deal through September 15th. That number is 869-1240. You can reach us that way. You can reach us on all our video streaming capabilities, thanks to those watching us on 12 News Connected. You can also see us on Facebook, YouTube, X. You can leave us comments there. You can call, give us your comments on that IHOP hotline. You can reach out to us directly on social media. All kinds of different ways to get in touch with the program. Thanks for listening to us on KFH and the Odyssey app as well. It is Sports Daily. We're growing. We're getting ready for football season. And for the first time in a while, we got baseball season to get us there. The Royals win again. Or is it the White Sox lose again? I'm not sure. But good stuff there from Kansas City to get out of there. A lightning performance from one of their new acquisitions at the trade deadline. We'll get into all of that as they win. Maybe some Olympics talk, some Chiefs talk to get to as well. We're going to have our buddy Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, joins us every Thursday, moving his time up a little bit. He's going to join us at the bottom of this hour to get us ready for K-State fall work, as we've seen KU get underway this week. So we'll have that coming for you. We'll have Jay Delling. The Heritage Classic is out there at Rolling Hills this week. It's big-time women's golf tournament. Jay Delling, you might recognize the name, always a part of the Wichita Open. Well, he's out there helping with that event, so we'll get him in a little later in the program as well to tell us what's going on, and we'll get your opportunity to win some tickets out to the party deck at that tournament as well. We'll give away some HTO, lots of giveaways today. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little tired this morning. That storm rolled through middle of the night.
Yeah.
Our power went out. It was out for like 2.5 hours. So it was kind of a back and forth night between sleeping and waking up and sleeping and waking up, but I'm here, I'm ready to go. I've got the coffee, I'm fueled up and ready for another day.
Hey, by the way, thanks for Prairie Fire Coffee, fueling us up each and every day here at KFH and all the Odyssey radio stations. They've always got us handled there in the break room, big old, what is that, a vat of coffee? I don't know what the proper terminology is.
I think carafe is the correct term.
It's enormous. Isn't a carafe small? I don't know what a carafe
is. I mean, you work in the beverage industry. I think you would probably know what the word carafe is.
We don't sell vats of tea. We have gallons of tea. We have bigger. We actually do sell big containers of coffee. We call it a coffee box. That's a little different than that contraption in the Odyssey break room that dispenses the delicious Prairie Fire coffee every day. We appreciate their support.
And the correct term is carafe.
Thank you, Jed. Yes. Thank you.
That large thing is a carafe?
Yes, it is.
Jeez, now I'm appropriately embarrassed, which is not at all, but appropriately embarrassed. Hey, we've got Team USA golf happening right now, it would appear. I continue to enjoy the Olympics. I'm ready for track and field. I will tell you that. But it still continues for me, Tommy, right now to be a Royals party that we're all just, you know, sort of taking in. The Guardians continue to win a ton of games. What's funny is Kansas City has a better run differential this year than Cleveland, but trails them by 6 games. So again, I think we take the AL Central and we put it off to the side right now and pay a little more attention to the wild card race where the Royals and the Twins are, you know, essentially tied. The Royals have played a couple more games than Minnesota. But Boston and Seattle, now 2 games back, 3.5 games back. Kansas City's about to play a series against Boston here pretty quick. But another big win against the White Sox. And look, it's the White Sox. I get it. They've won 17 games in a row. But they're going to snap that
lost
losing streak
17
at some
games
point.
In a row.
Is that what I... Yeah, that's
yeah,
when no,
they
lost 17
won.
Games
they've
in
lost
a row.
17 games in a row.
They're going to snap it at some point, and you don't want it to be against your team. So the Royals get it done. 2 of those games in comeback fashion. Yesterday was not particularly close. The Royals just kept adding to it and kept adding to it. Bobby Witt Jr. continues his tear. 2 for 3, scored 3 runs, had a couple of walks, just ridiculous. Michael Garcia had a nice day leading off in the game, which was good to see. They've just sort of, Quatraro just sort of rotating guys in there at the leadoff spot, which is, I suppose, about all he can do. But to me, Tommy, all of that happening, Brady Singer settled in for a nice 7-inning start after a rocky start. Out of everything we saw yesterday, to me, the most exciting was the new acquisition, Lucas Hursek, coming in, striking two guys out in an inning with 99 and 100-mile-per-hour gas. If you haven't seen the video, the second one especially, 100 miles an hour on the black. I'll tell you right now, that profile is better than anybody else they've got at closer. I would imagine, and I would make a guess for you after one appearance, that is what ultimately happens. If he has that kind of stuff, that's sort of what you need to do there. But a great first performance from him as we get the news that it's going to be Lorenzen in the starting rotation, and they option Alec Marsh down to AAA yesterday, which I would be a little surprised if we don't see Marsh called back up at some point here, maybe an opportunity to rest him a little bit and stretch out his starts. But They're going, man, and they're aggressive. And DeYoung was in the lineup yesterday, so we're seeing all of these guys. And we saw Harvey 2 days ago. Good to see him back. He's still not pitching very well, but good to at least see him back from his physical stuff. Here we go. I mean, this is it. This is the team now. We've talked about the trade deadline for 2 months. I joked yesterday, I'm kind of sad it's gone, but it's gone, and this is it. Unless they make some veteran trade later on, which we know happens now, this is the group, and I think it's good enough to make the postseason.
Yeah, I wasn't on the show yesterday, and so I didn't get a chance to talk about the trade deadline, didn't get a chance to talk about Hursek or DeYoung coming over to the Royals. The way I described it, at least on social media, when the trade deadline came and went, was that I feel like the Royals, their trade deadline acquisitions, it was kind of like a bowl of vanilla ice cream. It was fine. I like vanilla ice cream. I'll eat it. It tastes good. It wasn't a hot fudge sundae. It wasn't, you know, blockbuster. I kind of thought that it would be, but I think they got outbid basically every time they tried to make a bigger move. So it was fine. It wasn't anything mind-blowing or earth-shattering for the Royals, but as long as they can get some reinforcements, that really was what I think a lot of these acquisitions turned into, reinforcements. You know, DeYoung is not an outfielder, but he is.
No, he's a reinforcement.
But he is versatile. He's a reinforcement. I think Hursek is a reinforcement in the bullpen. Now he's got, by the way, he's got velocity enough to where I think he probably slots in as one of, if not the best bullpen pieces currently that the Royals have, you know, in that pen. But I mean, for sure, a reinforcement there. Hunter Harvey, we know, is a reinforcement. You know, so I do think that there were, you know, those moves that were made that, while not earth shattering, Lorenzen's another one. I think it does help them provide more depth going through this home stretch of the season.
I think Hursek has a chance to be more than depth. And honestly, I think Harvey does too. I think those guys, if Harvey stuff-wise, we'll just call it stuff-wise, Harvey provides, you know, an opportunity for them to be better than they were. Urcic certainly does. They get control of both of those guys. When we look at it, Lorenzen kind of just cost him money. DeJong just kind of cost them money. I mean, there were prospects involved, certainly, but too far away for us to have a good grasp of that. So John Sherman, he put his money where his mouth was. And J.J. Piccolo stayed true to what he told us a few weeks ago. They weren't going to do what I thought they should do, which is go all in and to hell with everything else, which is fine. I'm satisfied with their trade deadline. But, you know, whether they would have had enough to go in and get some of these guys, I'm not sure. But I do want to applaud the outside-the-box thinking. Nobody heard Lucas Ursig's name as a trade candidate. Nobody heard Hunter Harvey's name as a trade candidate. Those guys weren't supposed to be trade candidates because they had so much control. And the Royals identified those guys as players they wanted to attack more aggressively because they could keep the control. So they did what they said they wanted to do, which is go for the now and look to the future at the same time. So they did a good job. I you know, Ursig, I didn't know anything about him. I've just seen his numbers. I haven't watched Oakland play outside of the times they've played Kansas City. But that stuff that we saw last night, that profile's late inning. That profile's probably better than anybody they've got. So I hope he maybe catches a little lightning in a bottle here and could potentially become this team's closer down the stretch. To one quick other note, and we'll take a break and get to Tim Fitzgerald later in the bottom of the hour. Vanilla ice cream is better than a hot fudge sundae. And really? I find it interesting that you won't mix your foods, yet you'll take a dessert and take three or four different things and just put them all together.
I don't know how many times we have to go over this. I feel like I have to refresh your memory every single time. It's all about flavor profiles. You know, like a hot fudge sundae is sweet on sweet on sweet, so it's not a big deal, you know, to mix those.
What about the nuts there?
You know, you can add a little bit of savory in there, a little bit of salty, you know, in that mix.
Yeah. Sort of like when your bacon touches your syrup from your pancakes.
I've never had a problem with that. I've told you before, what I have a problem with is like my watermelon getting into my gravy from my mashed potatoes. Like that's too much. I can't do that. You know, my ketchup getting into my strawberries. Like that's not going to be a good flavor combination. Hot fudge sundae. It's a great flavor combination.
Okay. Nobody knew that until they tried it. That's all I'm saying. You never know until you try it. Somebody at some point was like, you know what? That ice cream's really good. Let's take some chocolate sauce and just put it all over that thing.
Yeah, like that would be common sense. I mean, I don't think that there's much. I don't think there's much mental gymnastics that are required to be able to make the connection that sweet vanilla ice cream and sweet chocolate fudge sauce would be good together.
Who'd have known dipping a French fry in ketchup would be such a delightful delicacy? That doesn't make sense. The sweet ketchup, a salty fried potato. You just got to get out there. Anyway, I just had to throw that in there. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about the game yesterday with the Royals more in depth than we did. Just the bird's eye look there at a nice Thursday, a nice series for Kansas City that could have got a little sideways on them, quite frankly. But the swag does feel like it's back. Trade deadline acquisitions look good. I want to talk about the Lorenzen / Alec Marsh decision a little bit as well when we return. It's all Brockton Caster. You can get in touch with the show lots of different ways. Give us a call, 869-1240. We'll have that that hotline tied up a little bit, but open next segment. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. All this baseball coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Welcome back. Jake Balbrock, Tommy Caster here with you on this Thursday. Tim Fitzgerald, join us next segment as K-State begins football practice. And it'll open up a little bit, Tommy, to the media today. So certainly excited about that for K-State. We've had KU underway pretty much all week here. So we'll get the early expectations. What are we watching for from Fitz in just a little bit? We're talking Royals baseball right now, though. Another win last night as the Royals continue to play well here through a series. I get it. It's against Chicago. You're supposed to sweep Chicago. Talked about it yesterday, Tommy. You weren't here. The Royals, I think, if they're going to do this, they have got to win the games they play against bad teams, you know, at a really high clip. I think you've got to beat up on the bad teams. It continues tonight. They go to Detroit for four games. They have to be able to win. They cannot. And I say that because we saw them struggle against the Cubs. We've seen them struggle against the Rockies. Like, there are all these little series against teams they need to be beating up on where you feel like they're wasted opportunities. At minimum, they have to be really good in those games, I think, if they're going to get this done. And they've, you know, they've got a nice lead there, and they'll have their chance to beat up on the teams they face directly. But in the meantime, that's what good teams do. They beat bad teams, and Chicago's the worst of it. Chicago's the worst we've seen in a long time. And they needed two late inning comebacks to get it done, but they got it done. They got it done. They get the sweep, and now they continue to ride forward. So we get the news before the game yesterday. It was literally right as we went off the air yesterday that Alec Marsh is optioned to AAA. We didn't have a chance at all to talk about that. I think that's a pretty big piece of news for this team, what they're doing. Look, Lorenzen in totality has been better than Marsh this year. You can look at it as simple as that. But in his July starts, Tommy, Marsh gave up 5-3, 5-2 runs in his starts. And that two-run performance was just in 4 2/3. He hasn't been particularly good for a little while now. And his ERA has jumped from, you know, 3.63 on June 13th to 4.71 on July 29th. This was the correct move. Now the question becomes, what happens with Marsh? My guess is he'll just sit down there, maybe stretch his starts out a little bit, rest up, and then if at any moment's notice somebody needs to skip a start in the big leagues, he'll just jump back up. I don't know how many options he has. That's the one piece of this I don't know. But it makes sense because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, it's the right timing for it, you know, and being able to, you know, potentially have him available and ready to go for a playoff push, you know, I think is important. It is the opposite of what I initially thought the Royals were going to do. Like almost the exact opposite, because I thought they were bringing Lorenzen in to be the spot starter guy, to pitch out of the bullpen, to come in and fill in as a starter when needed. And really, it's almost the exact opposite, although Marsh is being optioned to AAA. But it's, I think that they're going to, I mean, obviously Lorenzen will be in the rotation, and Marsh, presumably, I would think, could be that spot starter if necessary. I see him being, you know, the kind of player down the stretch where I don't know if the Royals have any scheduled doubleheaders coming up or like makeup games, or if there are rainouts down the stretch where you can then add an additional player for a doubleheader and you call somebody up to pitch the second game of a doubleheader, then they go right back down. Like, I can kind of see Alec Marsh in that role down the stretch. But I do think from an overall viewpoint, I think it is important to make sure that, you know, what has happened to him in the month of July doesn't continue. I think that they feel like he could be a contributor for them in the playoffs. How much of a contributor, I don't know, but you need to have the, you know, Alec Marsh has always been feast or famine. You need the feast Alec Marsh and not the famine Alec Marsh. And he's been more famine than feast in the month of July.
No question. And look, the likelihood is that they will absolutely need him this year. They're very likely to need him to come in and do something for them this year. But what's interesting is if you go back and you look at their other starts and you look at the career, you know, max innings pitched, okay, the most innings Seth Lugo has ever pitched in a season, Tommy, 146 last year. He's at 142 and it's August 1st. Okay. Cole Reagans, will pull him up. Obviously a young pitcher, he's not going to have this sort of innings load. Most innings he's ever pitched was last year in the big leagues. 71 innings for Kansas City. He's already at 128. We can have the same conversation about Brady Singer. I pull up Brady Singer's career stats. Most innings he's ever pitched in a season came last year. 159. Okay. He had 125. In a perfect world, and we'll talk about this later in the show, because I don't know if it's attainable. In a perfect world, you can get all those guys extra rest. The problem is you're in the middle of a playoff chase. So interesting things with Quatraro, but we'll get back to that. Let's talk about, you know, Marsh's role potentially that way in just a little bit. We're going to pivot, though, because joining us next on the program via video, Tim Fitzgerald, K-State opens practice today. Perfect timing. We'll get Fitz in next to talk about what we should be looking for up there in Manhattan. welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily on a Thursday, and that means we talk to our buddy Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here, Jad Chambers producing. Fitz and the GoPowerCat crew very busy right now because we get the start of K-State practice, at least the part we can see this morning. Tim joining us via our video stream. You can see it on 12 News Connected right now. And holy purple, Fitz, that's quite a setup you got there.
Yeah, I don't have the right sign up this morning because I got to do my Big 12 show right after the football practice. So you get kind of the watered down version.
Well, listen, my 7-year-old daughter is a K-State fan, and I always ask her why she has. It's for two simple reasons. She likes purple and she likes cats. And so she's like, I'm a K-State fan. They're purple and they're the cats. And I'm like, okay, well, that's good. So that's she science. Would love your setup. I'm gonna take a picture of that for her, and hope she doesn't get any bright ideas of what to do to my home studio here. Fitz,
let's not show her the stuffed wildcat on my wall. She might be upset.
Yeah, we would have to explain that to her. We're a quick side note, and maybe you guys have some input on this. We have a old cat at the house, and you know, there are some signs that we made that you know, things could go sideways on us, and I have no idea what to do because it's going to be an absolute nightmare in this house when the inevitable happens. But although they already have burial plans, apparently we're going to make him a tomb and a monument in our backyard.
Oh, so okay.
Anywho, yeah, it's going to be good.
It'll be lovely for resale.
Absolutely. Fitz, practice starts today. So we got a chance to see and hear about KU very early in the week. K-State, I assume, has been practicing the same amount of time. We just haven't been able to see them or talk to them yet. Is that how this is working out?
Well, they practiced yesterday. Doesn't KU open on a Friday?
We've already been up there. They already practiced. So we had them. We saw Jalen Daniels. Was that Tuesday, I think?
Yeah, they opened a little bit earlier because they opened their season a little bit earlier. Right. But yeah, K-State did practice yesterday. This morning, the media is welcomed in at 10 a.m. Very precise, very Snyder-like of Chris Kleiman. And that's why I'm here early, because I can't be two places at once.
I like that. I saw that yesterday there was the big commitment from the former Wake Forest commit, Logan Bartley, 6'1", 190-pound safety, going to play for Chris Kleiman. What does he bring right away to that K-State defense?
This is a kid that is physical. He's big. He's also extremely fast. I mean, he's tested really well. An injury kind of knocked him off his recruiting course. He had a lot of high power power four interest. And most teams just backed away. K-State brought him in and looked at him and thought he's good to go. We're going to offer him. And he had been a Wake Forest commit, and he flipped over, kind of fell in love with everything in Manhattan. But you know how that works, Tommy. He could see another shiny object in a couple weeks and like that more. So we'll see how that one plays out. But he seemed pretty content with his choice, and that's a really good pickup. They had another athlete they picked up earlier in the week. This has been a really good recruiting class by Kansas State standards. And they've broken into the top 40 now nationally. And I really am excited maybe to see this team start getting, top 40 type talent, according to the recruiting services, because they've been developing so much of their talent and succeeding. But what if they actually did start getting a higher grade of talent coming out of high school? It's going to get interesting for K-State because they're recruiting at a pretty high level.
Yeah, what if you start higher? I agree. Just as a quick aside, since we're talking recruiting, I saw Deshaun Brame of Derby, who was an Oregon commit, flipped to Tennessee. They had been in on Lincoln Cure. I assume that they'll pick up the phone and call. How locked in is that? It's such a weird time in the recruiting world when you see that.
Lincoln?
Yeah, because I've been asked that question. People are like, oh, no, Oregon's back on the table. What if they come with some huge offer to Lincoln? But I don't, and I have no idea. But is there any concern at all in Manhattan about something like that?
It's easy to say you're not motivated by NIL or money until the bag is put in front of your face, and then you find the answer. But I don't think Lincoln Cure is going anywhere. I think he's very happy with his choice. Yeah, Oregon might want to avoid the state of Kansas for a while. They lost Avery. They lost back-to-back tight ends. It's interesting that a program of the stature of Oregon is in Kansas so much. It's a great compliment to where the level of play is here. And of course, Dan Lanning, being a Kansan, probably wants some of his hometown cooking or home state cooking, and it's not working out that way.
You know, I know we've talked during this offseason, Fitz, a lot about the talent offensively and then the new faces and what, you know, guys like Dylan Edwards and Avery Johnson can do. And of course, the new additions at wide receiver like Dante Cephas, and seeing if Keegan Johnson can take another step forward. I also wonder, I mean, we've talked a lot about the talent. Connor Riley is, you know, basically, I know he's got a co-offensive coordinator, you know, on staff with him, but it's, I mean, think by all accounts, his offense, right? I mean, like, he's the guy. So during this offseason, you know, he's really kind of stepped into that role and taken it over. What kind of indications have you gotten as we get into practice and getting ready for this season with the way that he's developing this offense and trying to take over and be able to manage this new talent on the K-State offense?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one we honestly don't know quite yet. I mean, they went through spring football, but Dylan Edwards wasn't there. And they're just getting started. We'll have some press conferences coming up that I'm sure that will be a big topic of discussion. And while Connor Riley is the offensive coordinator, it does fall on his shoulders. Having a Matt Wells, who's been a coordinator and a head coach and was a quarterback, as a quarterback coach, having him, an experienced guy like that at your side, certainly helps. He's offering, you know, some input how to use Avery in the best possible way. I think K-State's in a good position right now with its offensive coaches. I know the loss of Colin Klein stung because he is a hometown kid, basically. You know, he's from Colorado, but he's a K-Stater. So I think people were a little worried about it. I was never worried about Connor Riley calling plays. I know he's an incredibly bright football mind. But it does get different when you got to call it live fire in the heat of a game. I thought he did a good job in the bowl game, but we'll see how he can incorporate Dylan Edwards with DJ Giddens and then the receiving core that's pretty good and still some pretty good tight ends. He's just got a lot of toys, guys. I mean, how is he going to play with all of them and put it out there? Becomes a very interesting question that honestly we may not really start to know till Arizona or at BYU. We'll see how they play that. But I think this is going to be a little bit different offense, but not radically.
I think it is interesting too, because I do the same thing. When I think about K-State, I'm thinking about the offense, how explosive it can be, the addition of Dylan Edwards. The reality probably is we need to know more about the defense. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a good feel for it. You know, when we talked about KU, their defense is coming along. I mean, obviously they've got the two great defensive backs and they've kind of got some buzz there. I really don't know anything about what to expect from that side of the ball from K-State, and they got to be good there if they want to be as good as we think they can be. I mean, how good can they be? What is the ceiling for the defense?
I think this defense might be improved over last year's. They're going to make some schematic tweaks here also, so that will be fun to observe. They've kind of been standoffish about sharing too many details, but it involves maybe a stand-up defensive end when you want four linemen. But they return a lot of experience in the back end, Marquis Siegel and VJ Payne at safety. You've got Parrish and Garber at corner. You've got speed. You've got Austin Moore and Purnell at linebacker. You do return a lot on this team that's been pretty productive, but really the key to how this defense will perform is that defensive end. They've got some young guys that they're absolutely raving about. They absolutely love these young defensive ends that'll be redshirt freshmen. They got two or three of them that are going to see the field. We've got a great rotation at defensive end with Brendan Mott being back. That's one of the biggest things I'm excited to see, is how good are these defensive ends, because they haven't been shy in saying these dudes are going to play and they're going to be effective.
We know how difficult it's going to be, Fitz, for the Wildcats to replace a player the caliber of Cooper Beebe. We've talked about it before on this show. Also, Ben Sinnott. I think that, you know, everybody kind of focuses on, you know, they don't have Beebe anymore and how do you replace him on the line. Ben Sinnott's not on that team either. What do you think the Wildcats are going to do at tight end? Are there some underclassmen potentially that are stepping in that could potentially be maybe not the next Ben Sinnott, but still be productive in that role?
Yeah, well, Garrett Oakley's back, and he was, you know, the more of the receiver type of tight end, and I think he's going to be really effective. He runs great routes. He's a big kid. I think they're going to still throw to the tight end. Will they be as effective in making themselves available, as Ben said it was. And let's be honest here. There's a lot to be said about being fast and having good hands. But if you're not open, who cares? And he would always find that space to be open, be available to his quarterback. And if Oakley can mimic that, I think it'll be a really good step forward. I kind of look at him as wearing where Sennett was at the start of a couple seasons ago when we didn't really know that much about him. And he slowly got involved in the offense more and more. And I think he grew in confidence. I think the same thing will happen with the tight ends. And again, this is a position with some young talent at it that could step forward. And then you've got Lincoln Cure coming in next year. I think it's clear that they have an emphasis on getting high level tight ends now, because it really opens up that.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you, and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Offense.
What is the best case scenario at the position with the players there? Like, what if... and maybe this is a question not just for this year, but we talk about Lincoln Cure. We know Will Ancio from this part of the world. Like, could this become an offense that it like just runs two tight ends, which, by the way, feels like a good fit with Avery? And I would point people to Lamar Jackson and his use of tight ends for guys that can really run and have big arms. Mm-hmm. Tight ends can be their best friend. You know, that's where the Sennett loss, I think, hurts Avery, but there are three or four guys there. Can they use all of them if they all reach their potential?
Yeah, they've been known. I mean, they saw three tight ends were on the field last year. I imagine there will be three tight ends that rotating through the process. As you mentioned, there's a lot of good ones, but we're not real sure who the third one will be yet. I think the biggest loss for Ben Sennett was his flexibility to be a fullback and to go split wide. I'm not sure where the guys are in that process. Someone's going to have to, you know, be that guy that drops back into the backfield to be a fullback on occasional plays. So someone's going to have to step up to get that done. But I think they've got some really good parts of that position.
So Fitz, I've got a couple of friends that are diehard Iowa football fans, and I for the life of me don't know why, but they are. I mean, that's got to be brutal.
Watching paint dry is fun.
Exactly. Yep. But I knew a lot about, or a little bit, at least a little bit about Keegan Johnson before last season when he transferred in to K-State. I was excited to watch him as a Wildcat because I felt like with his size and athleticism and all of that, you go from an offense like Iowa to an offense potentially like K-State. You know, that's a step up. I know he battled through some things last season, but as far as what he is poised to do or what you think he can do from last season to this year for the Wildcats, what sort of impact do you think he'll make?
Well, hopefully he's healthy because his last two seasons he hasn't been. He struggled with it quite a bit last year, and then we saw him come on later in the year when he started to feel much better. If he's healthy, I think he's going to be really effective. But again, when a player's been injured a couple seasons, you always have to put that asterisk by him. Is he going to be effective? If K-State will be much better off offensively if Keegan Johnson's healthy and running at 100%, but they kind of got by last year. I don't know. You mix in Dante Cephas coming in from Penn State. Maybe that will help. They do have some really gifted players, including Jace Brown, who's back at the receiver position. So I think if Keegan can finally find his footing and realize, hey, it's going to be fine without you. All the pressure in the world is not on you. And just go out and play like he did at Texas. I think he's going to be really effective.
Tim Fitzgerald joining us, publisher, gopowercat.com, at Life of Fitz on social. So as we begin practice in about 20 minutes, the number one thing Tim Fitzgerald looks for in these early days of camp is what? It was obvious in Lawrence, Jalen Daniels and his back. Right. I think it's less obvious in Manhattan. So what is it that we need to be paying attention to early?
For me, I'm going to be paying attention to who's where on the offensive line. Because once they sort out who's going to be the center, then everything else kind of falls in place. And also that receiver rotation, they probably won't show us too much in terms of how they'll use Dylan Edwards, but that's a big curiosity. You're going to have to get him on the field, and you already have an elite running back in DJ Giddens, so you're going to have to get a little creative, and I think they will. I don't expect them to show us a damn thing about that, probably until maybe Tulane if they need it, but certainly Arizona in game three. And defensively, just kind of the rotations they have at D end, at nose tackle, where, you know, they got Uso back and they've got some other guys there that could really be effective. And are they going to show us any of that four-man front in practice? I doubt it. But really, when you go to these things, you got about 20, 30 minutes to just absorb as much as the rotation of players as you possibly can. And they don't show you a ton. They'll let Avery throw the ball around a little bit, which is always impressive. I'm telling you that people in the national media, even some local media, say he's a running quarterback. They just go to a practice. Yeah. Man, this dude can throw it all over the field.
Switching gears a little bit, Fitz. I saw you had a daily delivery a little while ago. Pretty interesting one. The latest realignment rumors, what, Oregon State and Washington State potentially to the Big 12? What's up with that?
Yeah, as far as I can tell, it's utter nonsense. It's, you know, some of those social media accounts that just really want to generate traffic and buzz for whatever reason, probably ego, putting that out there. I mean, why would this come back now when they were just passed on a year ago? It doesn't make any sense. Why would ESPN even care? Those two schools were never under their domain, really. It's more of a Fox thing out west. So it didn't make sense. And I sense it's just guys who love to talk about realignment, because let's not be mistaken. When we talk about realignment, the numbers go up. So we talk about it a lot, but we're only going to talk about real tangible stuff unless I'm making fun of things like I did today with that daily delivery. Because I think after the addiction of having so many high number, high volume videos and tweets that get retweeted and shared, I think they get addicted to that. And they, now that the ACC's calming down leading up to football, they had to have a little more oomph in there, and I don't buy it for 1 second. Maybe in the grand plans on down the road, if the Big 12 is 24 teams, maybe that will get to Oregon State and Washington State. It's just been an unfortunate side effect of realignment, and it's not the Big 12's problem to solve.
It's not, and as long as they keep invitations open in the 12-team playoff, everything will be okay. I mean, I know it sucks for those schools, but they still got a chance to get in there and play for a championship, and that's the part of it. But yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, no sense. If it doesn't add to a TV package, the Big 12 ain't interested.
No.
And that, because that's the only thing, that's it. That's all that matters to survival right now. That's all that matters to longevity, is what TV deal can you secure? So if it's not adding to that, like, why the hell would you talk to anybody? And so, like, people might say, well, Gonzaga doesn't add anything for football. Yeah, but it does for basketball.
Yeah.
Right. And
well, they won't take any football money either.
Yeah. Right. So what is it? Yeah. What are you bringing to the table? And I honestly, no offense intended to either of those schools, because I love them both. They don't bring anything to the table financially that I can see, because you're already on the West Coast. Nobody's staying up to watch Oregon State football, right? That you know, you might stay up to watch Arizona, but you're not staying up to watch Oregon State.
That's kind of the way I feel. And look, Oregon State is a really well-balanced athletic department.
They're good.
If they land in a conference, they're going to better the athletic product, but do they better the television product? And it does come back to that. And I don't see how they do that, at least not right now.
All right, Fitz, what do you guys have going as practice begins here shortly? What can we expect to go powercat.com?
Well, hopefully we'll have some coverage of that. This little video and some still photos, and we'll have another person there. My nephew Ethan is starting to help out with the company, which is great. Yeah, he's a walking encyclopedia of Kansas State football. So he's going to go and keep an eye on all the rotations with me today as we get ready for football. Guys, it's here.
There have been famous nephews in the news this week. Are you the crazy uncle, Fitz?
Atomic
crazy? I'm an uncle 12 times over. I'm not sure if I'm that one. I might be. Does the crazy uncle know they're the crazy uncle?
I do. Yes.
Okay.
I do. I think we know by my daily behavior that the world knows that.
You got to lean into it. If you're the crazy uncle and you know you're the crazy uncle, you double down on being the crazy uncle.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
If you're an ugly actor, you take the roles for ugly people.
It's true.
That's the way I am.
It's a good thing. No, none of us have that concern.
No.
We're all A-list rom-com stars here. Well, crazy uncle Tim Fitzgerald, he'll have all the coverage for you. Go powercat.com at Life of Fitz on social. All of his crew will be there in full force to cover things for us. And we'll check in next week on any early returns from fall practice. Fitz, appreciate it. Enjoy the day.
Thanks, boys.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. You can find all that work. Always great stuff. Always keeping things interesting there in Manhattan. Love being able to bring in the video portion of that. Really, really cool. You can always see that on 12 News Connected. You can go back, by the way, and watch that on any of the streams, whether you find it on Facebook or YouTube or X. Wherever you find it, you can go back and watch it. And wherever you're listening, you can go back and get it that way too through the Odyssey app. We podcast this out. So, you know, it's interesting. Like, a lot of people, of course, listen to us as they're making their way around and about town as a part of their day. A lot of people listen to the show in the aftermath, right? Go maybe you're driving around later in the day, but you want something to pass the time. You can always go back and find the show on the Odyssey app or at kfhradio.com. A couple of different ways. Let's set up hour number two here, Tommy. So we'll get back to that question about Alec Marsh and the Royals and what he might do. And when you look at the innings load so far, it's a good problem to have. It means everybody's stayed healthy for the Royals, and it means everybody's been good. But they are reaching uncharted territory, and I absolutely think we have seen signs of that wear and tear, you know, having an impact. In steps Michael Lorenzen now. What will the Royals do? We'll dig into that a little bit and sort of reset these thresholds all of these starting pitchers have reached. I want to know, I want Tommy to pull out his crystal ball and tell me who the closer would be in a wild card game. Who would the team's closer be? How does the bullpen shake out? So we'll look at all of that. We'll check into the NFL as well. And Jay Delling will join us to talk about a golf tournament you may not have heard about, but it's a big one on tour, and we'll give away some tickets to it. Before we do that, though, let's give away some HTO here. Text to win contest. You can win some iced tea, more than 20 flavors. You can win some free rain coffee, one of each. All you got to do is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357 to win one of each of those. One entry per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, that's T to the short code 20357. Good luck, everybody. We're coming back hour number two of Sports Daily after this.
Start your day right. Start your day with 12 News This.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!